Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunatu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navaditamastama Vidvishavahai, Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 54. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord, O changeless, unlimited Supreme Truth, you are the origin of everything. Being all-pervading, you are in everyone's heart, and also in the atom. You have no material qualities. Indeed, you are inconceivable. The mind cannot catch you by speculation, and words fail to describe you. Right? So that's the thing we were discussing before, is that the Mayavadis are trying to catch by speculation, the intellectuals. This, like Prabhupada mentioned, the so-called intellectuals and so-called scientists and philosophers. All these, they're so-called because they're trying to catch the Lord by their mind, mental speculation. Right? Which they can't do. Footnote 15? Yeah, okay. 15. The eye does not go there, nor does speech go there, nor the mind. We should know it not. We know it not. We do not understand how anyone might teach us about it. It is different from the known, and even more difficult from the unknown. Thus we have heard from teachers in the ancient tradition who explained this to us. Kena Upanishad 1:3-4. Is there more to that? No. Okay. Yeah. So that's the whole point. None of these go there. You can't see there. You can't, by what you're speaking, it will get you there, nor by the mind and its speculations can you understand there. And it's different from what we know, and it's even more difficult from what we don't know. Right, because we know this, we know we don't know this, but what's beyond what we don't know, that's the difficult part.
Right. What we don't know, we know, and what we don't know, we don't know.
Or as Rumsfeld said, we know about, we know what we know, we know what we don't know, and sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
The reference.
Yes, okay, that was what you were talking about. Okay. Yes. Okay, we'll go on. You are the supreme master of everyone, and therefore you are worshipable for everyone. Right? So, point is, he's beyond. So that's why they're not even seeing him. They're simply offering these prayers. They don't even actually see the Lord. Right? Because when he's on the island of Swetadweep, they're on the beach. Right, so it appears they can go to the place where Dhruva Maharaj has his kingdom and everything, but they can't actually go to the island. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. Lord Brahma says, O Lord, we are unable to meditate on you or praise you. We simply offer you respects. Mano Grayanam means that he goes in front of the mind. Shruti says, although fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although in one place, he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in excellence. Ishopanishad 4. He cannot be defined by words. Shruti says, the Lord is not expressed by words, and by him words take their meaning. Kena Upanishad 1:5. That's the whole point, is he's beyond everything, but everything that we know is happening by him. So he can't be described by words, but that words have potency and have meaning is because of him. Right? We're thinking, no, I'm giving the meaning to the words. No, the words already have meaning given by the Lord. Because our minds and words are material and you are beyond matter, we cannot approach you with our minds and words. That form beyond matter is described. It is devoid of transformation, whereas the gunas, nature, is transformation. But though you are beyond mind and words, you are unreal. You are not unreal. Okay. But although you are beyond mind and words, you are not unreal. You are real. The Lord says, then I am like a pot or cloth. Meaning, you are real. Oh, so I'm like a pot or a cloth. Brahma says, no, you are unlimited, devoid of limit in time and space, since you are the cause of the whole universe. Therefore, because no one can understand you, you are like a person hiding in a cave. You are unlimited, since you are without coverings or upadis. Or because you cannot be measured, you are without divisions. Medini says, kala. Kala can mean amount. This is because you are inconceivable. Srila Prabhupada comments on the same verse. All the Vedic mantras, the Shruti mantras, are included in this verse spoken by Lord Brahma. For Brahma and his followers, the Brahma Sampradaya, understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the Parampara system. We have to gain understanding through the words of our predecessors. There are 12 Mahajans, or authorities, of whom Brahma is one. Swayambhur Naradas Sambhu, Kumara Kapilo Manu, Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyasakir Vayam. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20. We belong to the disciplic succession of Brahma, and therefore we are known as the Brahma Sampradaya. As the demigods follow Lord Brahma to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we also have to follow the authorities of the Parampara system to understand the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out in the next verse, Brahma describes the Lord's omniscience.
Huh?
Yes.
I always wondered, this verse that has the 12 Mahajans. So, the heads of three of the Sampradayas are mentioned there, but the fourth isn't. Is there a reason for that?
Lakshmi, because she's always with the Lord. Yeah, so she doesn't stand on her own. Because if you have Lakshmi on her own without Narayan, then you're dealing with Dana Lakshmi or Indra's wife.
Ah.
Yeah, sure. So she's always with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now the next verses describes the Lord's omniscience. So, Brahma continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and indirectly knows how everything, including the living force, mind, and intelligence, is working under His control. He is illuminator of everything and has no ignorance. He does not have a material body subject to the reactions of previous activities, and He is freed from the ignorance of partiality and materialistic education.
Directly, indirectly. Indirectly as Bhagavan would be, and directly as the Brahman and Paramatma?
No, it would be directly as Bhagavan and indirectly as the others. Because the others is what means you can't.
I
mean, either way you want to put it. If you want to say that from here, then we see, through here we see, and then we have the Lord. But the point is we'll say that activities done towards, in devotion towards Bhagavan, those are the direct ones. And then indirect means what we're using.
I was talking about material universe, how it runs.
Right.
So that it's directly by Brahman and Paramatma being the all-pervading.
Yes, but it's directly by them, but the thing is they're hidden, so we don't see. Like when we're chanting Hare Krishna, it's directly Krishna. But when you're, let's say, the potency of something in this world, like you're saying, like Agni, how fire then eats, that potency is Krishna, so you don't actually see Paramatma. You don't see the qualities of Brahman. So that's the indirect. So generally you take it that way. Because the reference will always be the Supreme Lord. Right? Then you come down into here. So, I therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who is eternal, all-pervading, and as great as the sky, and who appears with six opulences in three yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dwapara. In the cycle of material activities, the material body resembles the wheel of a mental chariot. The 10 senses, 5 for working and 5 for gathering knowledge, and the 5 life airs within the body form 15 spokes of the chariot's wheel. The 3 modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, are its center of activities. And the 8 ingredients of nature, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligent, false ego, comprise the rim of the wheel. The external material energy moves this wheel like electrical energy. Thus, the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub for central central support. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul and Ultimate Truth. Who is the Ultimate Truth? We offer our... Okay, thus the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub or central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul and the Ultimate Truth. We offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. The cycle, so Srila Prabhupada comments, the cycle of repeated birth and death is figuratively described herein. The material body of the living entity is a result of the conditioned soul's activity. So it's figuratively described, but it doesn't mean that this form of the description is not something that you can use. So it's different from modern figurative, it's just kind of to give an experience or, oh, that's nice. We have to be very, very careful about this. Otherwise, the modern academy will put that things that are figurative and allegorical and all these different things, that they're nice, but it's not real substance. So this is illusion on their part, is that no, it's given in this figurative, but the Lord is that. It is in that form. It does work like that. So then understanding it, then you can make it work in your life. And if you don't understand it, you can't make it work. But, as is pointed out in the previous verse, is that it's only through the parampara that you can make it work. It's not through intelligence. So if you don't accept the conclusions of the parampara, you cannot understand these analogies. It just is impossible. Right? Though, one may, it's not that the concept of that there's an analogy that you can't understand, because that's just a regular literary embellishment. But the point is you won't understand the import of it. That's what comes in parampara. So you have to be very careful on that point.
Some part is that, like the way they describe an atom is also figurative. It doesn't look like it.
Yes.
So they do it all the time.
They do it. Otherwise, how do you bring it into the context the mind can grasp? So the point is create something that the mind can grasp. Right? That's what you're trying to do. And having done that, then you can actually do something with it. So that's the difficulty, is that the same things that, in other words, that's always the standard thing, is the individual, they can work by certain rules that they create. But no one else can work by those, because otherwise what's their uniqueness? So therefore, if you're doing it, it's unfair. If they're doing it, it's normal, it's natural. Right? So here it's that the Lord does it, that's normal and natural, and you don't follow that, that's where the problem comes in. Okay. The cycle of repeated birth and death is figuratively described herein. The material body of the living entity is a result of the conditioned soul's activities. And because the supporter is the supersoul is the true reality. Every one of us, therefore, should offer... That's why we say it's correct. Right? Every one of us, therefore, should offer respectful obeisances to the central reality. One should not be misguided by the activities of this material world and forget the central point, the absolute truth. That is the instruction given here by Lord Brahma. So in other words, he mentioning the Lord before, how he is beyond, you can't understand him by words, by sight, by the mind. And so therefore it's only coming in the parampara that you can understand him. And then here's the making the point is that having understood him, then we don't want to make the mistake of not keeping him as the central point. Right? So whatever we're doing, he's always the central point. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the same verse. The jiva's wheel of samsara moves by maya. It has 16 spokes made of the 10 senses, 5 pranas, and the mind. Right, so here he puts in one more, the mind, because you're taking it, we're taking it here, the mind is involved because this is its the conceptual, but he puts it as the spokes, that's it's one of the primary elements that are there. Predominated by the mind. It moves quickly. It has naves made of the 3 gunas. It is flickering like lightning. It has 8 rims because lightning doesn't move in a straight line. It always is crooked. But it's very, very quick. So we're going one way, then it switches to another, then it switches back. That's what it does. It has 8 rims or coverings made of the material elements. The actual, the basis is the Supreme Lord. We surrender to that real form. So that's the point. We surrender to the actual is the real form. Everything else is real because it's created by him. But our idea that we can use this wheel for our sense gratification, that's what's unreal, that's what's illusory. So that means this, the actual, that's the direct. The wheel's the indirect. Right? That's how we know the Lord by both. Right? So when we see everything centered on him, then we're always engaged in devotional service. Because whatever we're doing, either we're directly thinking of the Lord, or we're seeing the Lord in whatever else we're doing. Then that's Krishna consciousness. That's what we're trying to do. Right? So that's why it's used. It's a very good example. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the next verse explains the method of surrender. So the last one was the omniscience of the Lord, how he's in everything, and how you have to keep him as the center. Right? So he's omniscient. But he's a person. He's localized, you know. So this is his inconceivable nature. So for us, these points are very easy to discuss. For the impersonalist, totally difficult. For other Vaishnavas, then they do well. But for us, it'll be the most easy. Okay. Lord Brahma continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. Shuddha-sattva, and therefore he is Ekavarna. The Omkara Pranava. So that also then explains Ekavarna, is that when it's situated in Shuddha-sattva. Right? Because there's that point that Lord Chaitanya says, the scriptures say that in the, I think Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that the devotees in Kali Yuga, no, he's quoting from the Shastra, that there'll be Ekavarna. I think it's Bhagavatam. At the end, the Bhagavatam. That they're Ekavarna. So then we take it that, Ekavarna means no varnas, no this and that. But what it means is no, they're situated in Shuddha-sattva. That's Ekavarna. That's the common nature. So that means Paramahamsa. Because Brahman means situated in goodness, right? Kshatriya passion, Vaishya's passion and ignorance, Shudra's ignorance. So that's why you have the 4. But if everyone's situated in pure goodness, that's Ekavarna. It doesn't mean that mechanically you don't do the duties of your particular varna. It just means that the effect of it will all be one. It'll all be transcendental.
We don't identify with the varna.
We don't identify, but it's just like to use a potato peeler, you don't have to identify with it. But you use your intelligence and you can identify the difference between the potato peeler and a grater. Right? If someone told you go into the kitchen and peel the potatoes and they came in and find a pile of grated potatoes with the skin still on, then you might excuse me specifically. Like you. Oh well. Okay. Because the Lord is beyond the cosmic manifestation, which is considered to be darkness, he is not visible to material eyes. Nonetheless, he is not separate from us by time or space, but is present everywhere. Seated on his carrier, Garuda, he is worshipped by means of mystic yoga power, by those who have achieved freedom from agitation. Let us all offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Right? So, freedom from agitation means when we're absorbed in sense gratification, very hard to think of the Lord. We get distracted. Well, those who give up that perspective, they're able to then always meditate on the Lord. Okay. He's not separated by time or space. He's present everywhere. Even though he is time, he is space. Right? So that's the thing. That's why he says he's very near, but he's very far away. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, he who is Om and seated on Garuda is worshipped by the person situated on the chariot of yoga. He is worshipped by the yogi who is in the mood of fighting in Vira Ras with the Stai Bhava of Utsaha. Right? So, in other words, he's fixed in being enthusiastic. Right? For devotional service, not for Maya. Otherwise, we wouldn't call it the chariot of yoga. We'd call it the chariot of Vikarma or something else. Right? Like that. So, yeah. So that. So he's in Vira Rasa. He's willing to fight with Maya. He's on the chariot. He's in the Stai Bhava of Utsaha with a desire to attain the bliss of liberation. The Dira, one who does not give up the fight, worships this Lord. We offer our respects to that Lord. So then it's a bona fide analogy, even though this analogy was demonized back in the 90s. It's a perfectly bona fide eternal analogy. Right?
What's the problem?
Huh? Sorry?
What's the problem with the analogy?
Because it was back in the 90s, there was a whole thing, oh, we're always on this, you know, war analogies and that, and therefore we're so aggressive and everything like that, and so people won't like us because of that, even though we were still making devotees. And so then we move into this soft, unaggressive, this and that, you know, blasé, mush, you know, like take a bunch of pumpkin and boil it. Yes, and nobody likes it.
Now we're not making
devotees. Now we don't make devotees because, but we're not upsetting anybody.
No.
So that's the perfection. That is the goal. Yes. Yes. Srila Prabhupada adds, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond darkness and passion. He is on the platform where goodness or knowledge is not disturbed by passion and ignorance. Right. So that's pure goodness. Right, where goodness is disturbed by passion and ignorance, that's what we call goodness. But where it's not disturbed by passion or ignorance, we call pure goodness. Yeah. This is called the Vasudeva platform. It is on this platform of Vasudeva that Vasudeva or Krishna can appear. Right? Because he's Vasudeva Sattva means then you can appreciate Vasudeva. So those souls that are on that platform, like before the, it means either they attain that through their sadhana or they're in that state before the creation. They can understand their position as souls and the Lord and everything. But there's no devotion. They can understand. That's the whole point of the Vishuddha Sattva. You can see Vasudeva. Right? Yes. Vasudeva is the position. And Vasudeva means Krishna. Just like Vasudeva is the father, and Vasudeva, and Vasudeva is his son, Krishna. Yeah, Vasudeva is the son of Vasudeva. Does that make sense? So, when we're on that platform of Vasudeva, then we can see the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Difference in the long and short. In Bengali, it becomes that much easier, but it'll be Vasudeva and Vasudeva. You know, so, yeah.
Vasudeva.
Vasudeva? Yeah, okay. 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 That same Maya however, is subdued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules everyone and who is equally disposed towards all living entities. Let us offer our obeisances unto him. Right, because he deals equally with everyone, but the point is on the platform of Vasudev, then you can actually see the Lord as Vasudev. Then you'll deal with him on that platform. But if you're controlled by passion and ignorance, then you'll tend to not see him. So therefore, everybody gets dealt with differently. So it appears that, oh, somebody's getting nice, somebody's getting not nice, because it depends on the combination of the modes. Right? You get what you pay for. Or what you got, and then you
have to pay for that.
Yeah, you have to pay for that, yeah. In other words, it's all on credit.
I know that feeling.
You do the work, and then you get... Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Thus, Krishna appeared on this planet as the son of Vasudeva. Because the Lord is situated beyond the three modes of material nature, he is unseen by those who are dominated by these three modes. One must therefore, that's why you can say goodness, because goodness means it's mixed with passion or ignorance. So that means all three modes. Right? Because ignorance is never just pure. There's some goodness and passion, and passion's never pure. It's got some goodness and ignorance in it. Does that make sense? So these three modes, anybody controlled by these, they can't see the Lord. But as we become beyond the modes, that's when we see the Lord. Right? So that we see is generally that will happen when we're absorbed in the recommended activities. Right? We're chanting, we're hearing with devotees, worshiping the deity, thinking of the Lord. Then, in those moments, then we may appreciate the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. One must therefore become dhira, or undisturbed by the modes of material nature. The process of yoga may be practiced by one who is free from the agitation of these modes. Therefore, yoga is defined in this way. Yoga indriya samyamaha. Okay. Yes. As previously explained, if you notice, it's three tilaks.
Yes.
As previously explained, we are disturbed by the indriyas, or senses. Moreover, we are agitated by the three modes of material nature, which are imposed upon us by the external energy. In conditional life, the living entity moves turbulently in the whirlpool of birth and death. But when one is situated on the transcendental platform of Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sits on the back of Garuda. Lord Brahma offers his respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Lord. Okay, does that make sense? So that's why we put the emphasis on controlling the senses. Not that controlling the senses on their own is what's important, is one who controls the senses can see the Lord. You know, it means you're coming in parampara, you want to see the Lord, just because otherwise there's so many yogis who control the senses, don't see the Lord.
Right.
But that's our emphasis. It's not that controlling the senses is important on its own. Right? It only becomes important on pranamoy because you can't have economics unless people control the senses. Right? So therefore it takes on more importance than it actually deserves. But within the context of bhakti, its only importance is the Krishna conscious value to it. It doesn't have an economic value to it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that the following two verses state that the conditioned souls do not know the Lord. Lord Brahma continued, "No one can overcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy, Maya, which is so strong that it bewilders everyone, making one lose the sense to understand the aim of life. That same Maya, however, is subdued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules everyone and who is equally disposed towards all living entities. Let us offer our obeisances unto him." Let us since our bodies are made of sattva guna, we, the demigods, are internally and externally situated in goodness. All the great saints are also situated in that way. Therefore, even if we cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are most insignificant in their bodily constructions, being situated in the modes of passion ignorance? So that's what makes the superior and inferior bodily constructions, is how much goodness is there. You know, and then how much passion or ignorance. So the more ignorance, inferior. Passion, better. Goodness, better, the best. Right? But the pure goodness, that's what they have bodies made of in the spiritual world. Right? Because there, the consciousness is pure goodness. That therefore generates a body in pure goodness. We have a consciousness in a mix of these modes. Depending on the particular mix and proportion, we generate a body like that. So that's why it's inferior. Does that make sense? That's the actual position. Something? No. Okay. How can they understand the Lord? Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. Srila Prabhupada comments. Atheists and demons cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although He is situated within everyone. For them, the Lord finally appears in the form of death. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mrityus Sarvaharas Chaham, Bhagavad Gita 10:34. Atheists think that they are independent, and therefore they do not care about the supremacy of the Lord. Yet the Lord asserts His supremacy when He overcomes them as death. At the time of death, their attempts to use their so-called scientific knowledge and philosophical speculation to deny the supremacy of the Lord cannot work. Hiranyakashipu, for example, was an exalted representative of the atheistic class of men. An exalted representative of the atheistic class of men, yes. He always challenged the existence of God, and thus he became inimical even towards his own son. Everyone was afraid of Hiranyakashipu's atheistic principles. Nonetheless, when Lord Nrsingadev appeared in order to kill him, Hiranyakashipu's atheistic principles could not save him. Lord Nrsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu and took away all his power, influence, and pride. Atheistic men, however, never understand how everything was created, that how everything they create is annihilated. Because the passion, that they just move on to the next, or ignorance, they just can't see it. But in passion, they move on to the next item, even though the previous one is destroyed, they don't put that together. That you created something and it's destroyed, so what's your potency? They just see, oh, I have some new project, some new thing. And in this way, then they just go on. The supersoul is situated within them, but because of the predominance of the modes of passion and ignorance, they cannot understand the supremacy of the Lord. Even the demigods, the devotees who are transcendently situated or situated on the platform of goodness, are not fully aware of the qualities and position of the Lord. How then can the demons and atheists understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It is not possible. Therefore, to gain this understanding, the demigods headed by Lord Brahma offer their respectful obeisances to the Lord. So they're situated on the platform of goodness, and they can't understand, right? Because of that tinge of passion and ignorance that's there. Right? So the situations they're in are goodness, their bodies are goodness, their basic way of thinking and qualities are, you know, goodness, but because it's not connected to the Lord, they can't understand Him. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that in the following 12 verses, 32 to 43, Brahma praises the universal form of the Lord, beginning from His lotus feet. Lord Brahma continued, "On this earth there are four kinds of living entities, who are all created by Him. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. He is a great supreme person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us." Right, so what we see here is that this is these words. These are when, at least in this connection, since we're working within the description of the Manvantara, than using the principles that Manu gives. These are in essence, you could say the points that are made in Manu Samhita in the opening the creative aspect. So there it is, that full of opulence and power. That's the whole point, is that he's shining forth. Even though there's all this pradhan, there's all this just mass of ignorance, he shines forth. And then from him comes the four kinds of living entities. So all this is there. So it's all describing Garbhodakshay Vishnu, right? Who in this case, as situational, he is the universal form. Srila Prabhupada elaborates. The word Mahi...
But they went to Shri Radha Prasad Vishnu.
But still, it's all the same. It's the same person. It's just Garbhodakshay has expanded to enter into it. Because, in other words, you have to have the situation, and then you have to have what you want the situation to transform into.
So we say it's Garbhodakshay because he is the source of everything?
You can say like that, but let's say you have... Okay... you have a pile of potatoes, right? That's the situation. So that you have potatoes, and that potatoes can stand in a pile, that's Garbhodakshay Vishnu, right? Now, what do you want to do with those potatoes, right? Make them into something, a preparation. So what you want to make it into, that's Kirodakshay. He's the goal. And so then, therefore, by the influence of him, therefore, means those potatoes, you can work with them in a certain way. That's Garbhodakshay. That you are working and the effect is happening, that they are transforming into what you want, that's Kirodakshay. Does that make sense?
Is that his Prayojana?
Means he's Prayojana, and then Garbhodakshay is the Sankarshan, right? Sankarshan, you know, therefore, when you put that all together, then when you apply it with the proper knowledge, with the proper attitude, and the proper goal, right? Then when you apply your effort, as recommended, then the transformation happens. So that potency of transformance, that's Kirodakshay. That it is there and it can happen, that's Garbhodakshay. Does that make sense? So they're both universal forms.
Then would Karnadaksha be the existence of the potatoes?
Then? Yeah, you could say he's the existence. But he's the existence of the concept of potatoes.
Okay.
Or okay. So that's represented when he comes. So what he does is represented in the universe. Mm-hmm. In other words, he makes the primary creation. Yes. Then when he enters the universe, that primary creation comes with him, and that's situated in the lotus. Right, that's Viraj. Then Brahma, taking that understanding of Viraj, or the universal form, the universal form, or the primary creation, then he manifests the secondary creation. Okay. That's why before, when it's Karanadakshay, that you have all those primordial demigods, but when he comes into the universe, they're not there. There's only Brahma, and then from Brahma, then you get all those demigods. Yes.
On his own planet, Brahma worships Garbhodakshay Vishnu.
Yes, but in the thousand-headed form, as a universal form, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, so that Purusha with the thousands of heads, thousands like that—that's the one he worships, and he stays there. So as we saw from Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, then, you know, when there's official things, he comes out, sits there, listens to the prayers and that, and then when the official program's over, he leaves and goes back to his place. So Brahma's point is, I don't have that much mercy, because he doesn't just hang around and we sit and, you know, chat.
So that Purusha Shukla is about him specifically.
It's about him specifically. Like that, because that's where everything comes from. It comes from the primary. The difficulty we think is the secondary that's actually causing things to happen, but it's the primary. Because without the primary, it can't work. And it's just like, let's say, you take some mangoes and put them in the blender. You can blend them. Right? Because in the primary, that's possible. But now if I take some rocks and put it in there, it won't work. You know, because you can't blend rocks. Right? You can crush rocks. You know? Does that make sense? But so it's a different thing. So it's just Krishna puts what earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, what natures they have, what you can do with them, and then therefore the combinations, what things that are manifest here that you can see. And then all that then creates the universe. Does that make sense? So it's based on that that Brahma creates. So we're trying to understand what's behind it. That's the point when it says what Indra's saying that about worshipping him. He's meaning the universal form. Because he is Indra, there's the primordial aspect that's coming from the Lord. So that there is a concept of Indra. He has those potencies. He can do all that. That's coming from the Lord. He's just filling the post. You know, it would be like, let's see, the viceroy of the country saying, you have to respect what I say, simply because he represents the state. Not that what he has to say is important. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada elaborates. The word Mahi refers to the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, which rest upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahat Padam Punya Yasho Murarehi. The Mahat Tattva, the total material energy, rests on the lotus feet, for the cosmic manifestation is but another opulence of the Lord. In this, so that's before, he's the chariot, I mean the wheel, the axle on which the chariot's running, actually. In this cosmic manifestation, there are four kinds of living entities. Jarayuja, those born from embryos. Andaja, those born from eggs. Svetaja, those born from perspiration. And Udbija. Udbija, those born from seeds. Everything is generated from the Lord, as confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadya Syayataha, Srimad Bhagavatam 111. Right? So, this all living entities are born according to this. So that's just how it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so all this is generated from the Lord. No one is independent, but the Supreme Soul is completely independent. Janmadyasya yato anvayad itaratas chartesva vigyasvarat. The word swarat means independent. We are dependent, whereas the Supreme Lord is completely independent. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the greatest of all. Even Lord Brahma, who created the cosmic manifestation, is but another opulence of the Supreme Personality of God. The material creation is activated by the Lord, and therefore the Lord is not a part of the material creation. He activates it by his glance. So the glance is not him. It's simultaneously him, but it's not him. It's not that he changes or something. The Lord exists in his original spiritual position. The universal form of the Lord, Vairaja Murti, is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that universal form, so that primordial creation, that is a form of the Lord. Does that make sense? That's Vairaja Murti. So Brahma is born from Vairaja. Because Vairaja is half masculine, half feminine. Right? So it has that aspect. It has the potency. I mean, the potent and the potency are both there. Because otherwise, then, means you have to have the forms, and you have to have the activities and what they can transform and everything about them. But you have to have, there has to be the potent for the potency to be able to act. Right? So therefore, Vairaj is half male, half female. So Brahma is born from Vairaj. Right? He's born on the lotus flower. Lord Brahma continued. The entire cosmic manifestation has emerged from water, and it is because of water that all living entities endure, live, and develop. This water is nothing but the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has such great potency, be pleased with us. Srila Prabhupada comments. Despite the theories of so-called scientists, the vast quantities of water on this planet and on other planets are not created by a mixture of hydrogen and oxygen. Rather, the water is sometimes explained to be the perspiration and sometimes the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is from water that all living entities emerge, and because of water they live and grow. If there were no water, all life would cease. So that's why we say when you have something, let's say you have some rice, and it's just sitting there, and it's perfectly dry, you get no living entities. Mm-hmm. But now let's say that rice is moist, and it's sitting there. It gets hot. Right? So that means that these living entities now are produced. Right? So that's the meaning, produced from perspiration. Mm-hmm. Right? Doesn't mean that you're necessarily perspiring. It means the rice is perspiring. Doesn't mean that you don't produce living entities when you perspire. Mm. That's another thing. But we're talking about here, it means that when there's water and that water gets hot where it, you know, gets hot, that will produce living entities. Mm-hmm. So there's living entities that's where they're born. Yes.
So it says that the mosquito is also produced from perspiration.
Yes. So then there. You know.
But perspiration of what?
Perspiration means water. Where water is, and water is kept nice, and so therefore it happens.
Perspiration of the earth or something like that.
Yes, point is you have to take the principle of it. That's what we were talking about. You have to go back to the principle concept of it. Then you can apply it all the way across. Otherwise, if you're trying to be too literal, then it means, in other words, in common usage, then you can't catch it.
Oh, it's just that somebody's asked me about that, so I was trying to explain it.
But then I know of mosquitoes, unless they're specifically said, they're born from eggs. They live in water, so there's a combination of eggs and water, just like frogs and other things.
I think it was in Mama who says that things born of perspiration including mosquitoes.
It makes mosquitoes, so that means that it has to be water, and it has to be some kind of a warm thing in which it creates. Like fish. They're born from eggs, so if you're sitting down in the bottom of the ocean, it's not exactly warm there, but, you know, they do fine. Because here it says that the water is sometimes stained as the perspiration of the Lord or as the semen, so that means the water itself is the form by which they're produced. But then it has to be some element, because if you take perspiration or that, you talk about the warmth and stuff. You know. It is from water that all living entities emerge. And because of water, they live and grow. If there were no water, all life would cease. Water is the source of life for everyone. Therefore, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have so much water all over the world. Lord Brahma continued, Soma, the moon, is the source of food grains, strength, and longevity for all the demigods. He is also the master of all vegetation, the source of generation for all living entities. As stated by learned scholars, the moon is the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all opulences, be pleased with us. Fire, which is born for the sake of accepting oblations in ritualistic ceremonies, is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fire exists within the depths of the ocean to produce wealth. And fire is also present in the abdomen to digest food and produce various secretions for the maintenance of the body. May that supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us. Right? So that's where fire is situated in the body, the digestion and the eyes, and then the different things that, you know, create all these different secretions that make the body work. Right? So we see here, he's been described now as water, he's been described as fire. Right? So this is how the universal form works. This is how everything functions. You see this, you can see how Krishna's function. You can see that he's Paramatma in everything. So with even out very minimal knowledge, you can see Krishna in everything. Or you can know these technical aspects of that, how he's manifesting specifically in that thing. Then you can know more. But the point is that he is everything, he is everywhere. That anybody can know. Right? May that supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us. The sun guard marks the path of liberation, which is called Achiradi Vartma. He's the chief source for understanding the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation. He is the source of eternal life as well as the cause of death. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. May that supreme Lord who is supremely opulent be pleased with us. So right here, so we see by the Vedic concept, it takes it back to the sun. So fire is taken back to the sun, and that has so many origins, as mentioned here. Right? So the gateway to liberation, the source for understanding. Right? So that's why like the brahmacharis, they get their stick, and it represents the sun, so that they can move forward on the path toward, by Vartma, his path. So move on the path towards enlightenment. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary in verse 36, the sun represents the path of liberation, Devayanam. The sun is the guiding deity on the path of liberation. The sun is the three Vedas, Trayi Mayaha. Shruti says, the sun shines as the three Vedas. Saptapata, Brahmana 10, 5, 2, 2. The sun is the place for worship. Shruti says, Ya eshon tara dityo hiranmaya purusha. The golden form of the Lord resides within the sun. The sun is the door to liberation, since it is on the Devayan, the path of liberation. It is immortality or heavenly, since it is a pure planet based on piety. It is death because it personifies time. Because time is then calculated by the movement of the sun ray. Right? Like that. So therefore, he's life because everything functions from that. He's liberation. He's the path of liberation. He's the enlightenment, so we can understand that. But then also because of time, that is death.
So, like the fire is connected to sun god, then is it has any connection with the fire god and sun god?
The fire god is who carries the ablations.
Carries
who carries the ablations? The Jata Vedas, he carries. So that's the prayers that, you know, who the offering is for, may he carry it to them. But still that potency of that comes from the sun god. Because otherwise they're demigods. Where does he get his power? Is that something? So if you're saying that the Lord is fire, then that means it's because he's the origin. He is the potency of. So then also he's the eye. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. That means seeing things through the eye of liberation, of how to not be entangled in the material world, is how the Lord sees. The Lord always sees from a transcendental point of view. He does not see by the modes of nature. So when we see like that, then we come to the transcendental platform. Okay. So we have to use the Lord's view. We can't use another view. Right? Because otherwise, it's just like, let's say you have the elephant, okay? Using Gajendra as there. So the elephant, how well is he seeing the Lord? Right? So that was the point. That's why he was cursed to become an elephant, because he's not seeing the sage that's coming, he's not interacting, he's not dealing properly. So therefore, like an elephant, then he won't see. Right? So if we see according to the nature of an elephant, we're not going to see anything. So that goes for all the 3,400,000 species. 8 million. How'd they get 3 million? 8 million. All right. So you're not going to see, but if you see according to the direction of the Lord, right? So that's why we have to give up the false identity, because as long as we see with our false identity, that mixed with what we're supposed to do, it will always be mixed. Right? But if we see as, no, I'm serving the Lord, and the Lord has created all these different forms, and based on those forms, they can act in a particular way. Therefore, I will engage these forms in the Lord's service according to His vision. Then you're transcendental, and you can engage everything in Krishna's service. But if you start with, I am this body, then you're not going to get anywhere. Right? That's why that's the first point. I'm not the body, I'm the spirit soul. Once that's there, then there's a supreme. I'm part and parcel of Him. Okay, now what are you supposed to do, right? Because His activity. Act in such a way to please that supreme and develop love. Right? That will bring about the actual perfection of the jiva. So, yeah. That's where we start with self-realization. But the actual self means the Supreme Lord. And ourselves in relation to Him. We're up to the point where Srila Prabhupada comments? Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanam.